Welcome, welcome, and welcome everybody to the show. It's your wonderful and, of course, friendly neighborhood host. I'm Rob Zicari, and this is the Rob Zicari Show. January 21st, the question is, I don't think that's proper grammar. Question is, but the question is, is, the question is, the question is, yeah, the question is, see, if you pause, you then have to say is again. So you have to go, the question is, but if you pause, you have to then go is again. It's a weird thing. It's like the word esophagus. It's weird. Is United States, at least the East Coast, going to be buried in snow? That's what I want to know. That's what I'm wondering. Or is it going to be, or is, again, with that damn thing, is it going to be like last year? Feels like Groundhog Day. Remember last year when it was supposed to be like the storm of the century? Remember they all the cable news channels dispatched their best reporter, or if you call them that, advocates. They're not reporters. They're propaganda specialists. You had Don Lemon playing on snowmobiles. Remember? Don Lemon was out there. Yeah, they were all out there. And it lasted for like a day and a half. It was this big buildup. It was, oh no, we're gonna be covered in snow. It's gonna be like a global Armageddon of snow. Oh, day and a half. So it's happening again. I know those of you who listen to the show on the East Coast are going, no, we're getting ready. This is the one. This is it. This is the one. Yo, this is the one. Wow. Okay. Let's see. Us on the West Coast, we're just going to stand by and wait. Okay? We're going to stand by and wait. We're going to see. But that's it's the big news. Forget stock market, which, by the way, it did rebound yesterday from being negative 500 points. It finished 200. Remember, we talked about that. I said it wasn't going to finish at 500, 600, 700. It would somewhat level out, but it's still further down than the 18,000 high mark. But the new story is now the storm of the century. They got the mayor of New York, Blasio. We got the mayor of was it Washington D.C., the Philly. They're all out. We're gonna get ready. We're gonna make sure everything's good. We're gonna make sure that you can get around in your cars and blah 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 blah. So, we'll see if everyone's just overreacting. We'll see. Who knows? Anyways, big day yesterday. Big day in the political world, because I think Mark Levin and Roush, Limbaugh. Limbaugh to a lesser extent. Levin, full-blown nut job. He's officially lost his mind. He is unhinged. Because Ted Cruz is getting beaten up. Ted Cruz is losing to Donald Trump in all the polls, and he can't take it. I'm telling you, Mark Levin is losing his mind. Just losing his mind. Absolutely losing his mind. Beyond losing his mind. Like, you can't even fathom. Well, maybe you can. Maybe you can. I'm sure some of you that listen to my show listen to Mark's show. So you know what I mean. Just losing his mind. Limbaugh to a lesser extent. And I'm officially convinced. Before, it was a theory. Remember we talked about it, I think, on Monday? I think it was Monday. We haven't done a story on it yet, though. We got to do a story. I thought we did do a story. We got to do a story on that. Because it was a great bit. We did the, of course, video. We always do the videos and the podcasts and break it down so you don't have to sit through a 3-hour show. You can actually just listen to the bit that interests you. A story. And we need to do a story. Mr. Producer, I know you're listening. We got to do that story. Got to do that story. It would be a good story. And we'll get good play on that story. So please, write that on your little piece of paper. We got to do that story. I am now convinced that Limbaugh and Levin are officially in the bag for Hillary Clinton. There is no way, absolutely no way, they want a Republican in the White House. They don't. I'm telling you, they don't. They absolutely don't. Because if they did, they would not be unhinged when it comes to Donald Trump beating Ted Cruz. And they are just beside themselves. They are beside themselves. Absolutely beside themselves. It was a theory, but that theory's gone. It's not a theory. It's real. It's real. All Mark Levin does is spend his entire show bashing Donald Trump. Bashing Donald Trump. That's all he does. It's all he does. Bashes Donald Trump. He's not a conservative. He panders to farmers. He panders to the ethanol groups. He's fake. He's a phony. He's a fraud. And you know what's funny is Ken. I'm sorry, Ann. I didn't mean to say Ken. I only said that because There is a guy that I was friends. Well, I think I still am. I haven't talked to him in years. He lives in Florida. His name's Ken Coulter. So that's a Freudian slip. Ann Coulter wrote a great piece on her blog yesterday. And if you guys haven't checked it out, you need to go and find it. It's Twitter, at Ann Coulter. Go there and read the article. It's a little article that she wrote about Trump and how conservative media and, of course, liberal media, which is state-run media, are teaming up and getting together to go after Trump. But I've been saying that for months. I've been saying that months. So I'm not requesting that you read the article because of that. I'm requesting that you read the article because of a segment where she talks about what Trump did for a family of farmers. And it kind of puts it all into perspective when you hear Levin talking about Trump pandering to the Iowans and only supporting ethanol and the subsidies and the farmers that get them because he wants to win the caucus. Now, if it wasn't for the fact that, by and large, Trump has a history, believe it or not, of doing some nice things for people in need. I know it sounds crazy, but he actually does. I think for the most part, rich people actually do a lot. Sometimes you don't hear about it. They're not as open, I guess you could say it, or use it as some type of status symbol as liberals are. You know, liberals are the first ones to scream at the top of every mountain, look what I did. Look at the charities I donated to. Look at me. Look at me. I mean, let's face it. The entire industry treats black babies from Africa as an accessory. If you adopt a little black baby from Africa, it's like getting a Bentley. It's like getting a Lamborghini. And imagine all of the needy orphaned children that are here in the United States. And you have these multimillionaires, these celebrities, these elitists flying to Africa and adopting little fashion accessories. It's wrong. It's wrong. But I digress. So Trump does a lot of things for a lot of people. And most of those people are here in the United States. And Coulter talks about a family. And it's not a Coulter story. He didn't get the scoop. It was something that was in the press years ago. Years ago. It was back in the 80s. And it was a family who lost their farm. Or was going to lose her farm. And this woman was on TV talking about how her husband had killed himself about 20 minutes before their family farm was to be auctioned off in a foreclosure sale, now, hoping that the insurance money would save the farm. And, of course, it didn't. So Trump stepped in, and him and a couple other New York businessmen, there's those dirty, filthy New York values, raised money, something like $100,000 to give this family and have them save their farm. And eventually they did. And eventually this family flew to New York, where at the Trump Towers, they burned the mortgage in the lobby because the family now owned their farm because Donald Trump stepped in and made it happen. And they all had Christmas together. It was beautiful. It was awesome. And in the article, and this was reported by the Associated Press, Trump says, "We give a lot of money to foreign countries that don't give a damn about us, but we don't help the American farmer." We don't help the American farmer. Now, we're talking 20, 30 years ago. We're talking 20 or 30 years ago. And Trump had this sense of loyalty to farmers that he did not know. I mean, what does a New York billionaire know about farming? So when Mark Levin screams and yells for 3 hours, 3 hours, about how Donald Trump panders to Iowans and he's a big phony and he's not conservative and to call for the expansion of the ethanol business is nothing more than a ploy to get votes. He's not genuine. You have to go and read this Ann Coulter piece. Because I would say helping farmers 30 years ago and telling the Associated Press that no one helps the American farmers article. And these quotes from Trump and the actions that he did tells you that his Iowa pitch is not a pander. This guy actually gives a crap about farmers. about men and women who make their living farming, providing food for the American people, providing energy with regards to ethanol for the American people. Now, we can get into how useful and how cost-effective ethanol is, but what I find incredibly hypocritical is someone like Levin, who's screaming and yelling about ethanol and corn and Iowa, talking about it's not conservative principles by subsidizing certain aspects of that business. So in essence, he's talking about putting thousands and thousands of hardworking Americans out of work. But yet, when you talk about the coal industry, Mark Levin will lose his mind. He will absolutely lose his mind. When you talk about energy production, rather it's oil companies, he will lose his mind. It's a very weird approach. Obviously, the approach is, how do I get my boyfriend, Rafael Cruz, the Republican nomination? Oh, I have to go after Donald Trump. I have to bash Donald Trump. I have to stop Donald Trump. Okay. I will attack him for pandering to Iowans. I will go after him because the governor of Iowa doesn't like Ted Cruz. So that's what I'll do. It's bizarre, ladies and gentlemen. It really is bizarre how your Levins and your Limbaughs, a lesser extent, Hugh Hewitt, are attacking their best shot at beating Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders, for that matter. We'll get to the new polls that came out, but rather it's an indictment by the FBI or Bernie Sanders just beating Hillary Clinton, the best shot Republicans got of taking back that White House is Donald Trump. And you have conservative talk radio doing everything they can. I think I'm the exception. And I'm not on the radio. I'm on the internet. I'm on the interweb. I think I'm the exception. They're doing everything they can to make sure Trump doesn't get the nomination, which goes back to how we began this conversation. They don't want a Republican in the White House. It's too hard. It would make these fat cat broadcasters, guys like Limbaugh, who make 40, 50 million a year, million. You understand that? Million. Guys like that, it would make them work. They don't want to work. Limbaugh is talk radio's Howard Stern. He is talk radio's Howard Stern. Have you listened to Howard Stern lately? He don't work. Howard Stern today is completely opposite of what he was 20 years ago. Completely opposite of what he was when I grew up in New York listening to. Completely opposite. Completely opposite. He's lazy. Coasts by. And that's Limbaugh. Lazy. 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 Absolutely lazy. And Levin? Same thing. They want Hillary in the White House. They want Bernie Sanders in the White House. They could go out and party. Limbaugh could go back to popping pills. He could come into that radio station, oxycontined out, just flying as high as a kite. No prep, nothing. If Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton were in the White House. The material writes itself. The material writes itself. Writes itself. That's all. It's kind of like the old saying when it comes to comedians who just cuss and swear and use provocative language, so to speak. Other comedians say that's a cheap and lazy way to perform comedy. Anybody could do that. It's the same thing. Anybody can host a show and talk to 10 million angry people who despise Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. It's a lot harder to talk about the policies of somebody you support. Talk about positions of somebody you support and try to convince or sway opinions of other people to get on board to that ideology, to that thinking. And that's why Levin and Limbaugh and Hewitt all bash Trump. I mean, I listened to Hugh Hewitt yesterday talk about Bob Dole and how he came out and said, listen, if Ted Cruz wins the election or, you know, wins the primary, it's going to be horrible for the party. We're better off with Trump. And I listened to Hugh Hewitt basically trash trash Bob Dole for 20 minutes. And part of his argument was Bob Dole doesn't use Twitter. Bob Dole doesn't use Snapchat. And how can you listen to anybody that's 90 years old and doesn't communicate with anyone outside of a five or six person circle around them? I mean, that was Hugh Hewitt's logic. Oh, he's old. He's old. And there's a protocol in the Senate. There's protocol in politics. And Ted Cruz broke those protocols. And Bob Dole's old school. So he's just lashing out and joining a few of his establishment friend. I mean, think about it. A guy like Hugh Hewitt, guy who's technically a Republican, but he's really, I would say, a mercenary Republican. When you're a Republican and you work for CNN, you're basically told what to say, when to say it, how to think it. They can they literally can BS and give this impression of complete independence, but let's face it, when CNN's paying you, you do what they tell you to do. You do what they tell you to do. So here's somebody that is attacking Bob Dole. If Bob Dole came out and said, Ted Cruz is our man, the Hugh Hewitts, the Limbaughs, the Pragers, they'd all be dancing the jig. They'd all be dancing the jig. They'd all be dancing the jig. Hugh Hewitt knows. Levin knows. Limbaugh knows. The only shot we have to win that White House is with Donald Trump. That's a fact. That's a fact. Mark Levin talks about a Reagan-esque landslide with Ted Cruz. Imagine that. I mean, think about the smoke that he's trying to blow up the tuckuses of his audience. Think about that. A Reagan-esque landslide for Ted Cruz. There's no way he believes that. Again, he wants Hillary Clinton in the White House. For Mark Levin to actually believe that, somebody should go to his bunker and commit him to whatever local hospital there is in that area. If he honestly believes that Ted Cruz, your prototypical, I mean prototypical, that's what he is. Prototypical conservative slash Republican prototypical conservative slash Republican, that guy is going to beat Bernie Sanders and or Hillary Clinton. Not going to happen. I mean, take out, listen to me, guys. Just listen to me. Take out all the emotions. Just take out all the emotions. Please, take out all the emotions. Think about it. Ted Cruz is more conservative than Mitt Romney. Ted Cruz is more conservative than John McCain. Ted Cruz doesn't have the personality of George Bush. Now, how the hell is Ted Cruz going to beat a Democrat? How is Ted Cruz going to beat a Democrat in 2016 with more extreme positions and views than Mitt Romney and John McCain? And not just Democrats, but Republicans have said in order for a Republican to take the White House, they need to bring in to the fold another group or pieces of groups that have never been in the fold before. So where does your prototypical conservative Republican, who's more conservative than Mitt Romney and John McCain, where does that candidate, Ted Cruz, get that support from? When you hear this talking point by right-wing extremists like Mark Levin, that the white evangelical that stayed home for Mitt Romney will rally around Ted Cruz and they will come out and vote, is a fantasy. It's an absolute fantasy. Mitt Romney had a little more than 60% of the white evangelical vote, the white male vote. Even if you pushed those numbers up by 5 or 6 or 7%, which you just can't, but let's just say you do, it's still not enough to beat the Democrat. It's still not enough. Forget the whole, oh, you need the Latino vote. Forget that. You need Democrats to cross over. You need Democrats to cross over. The only way a Republican wins that White House is by getting Democrats to cross over. The only way. 67 million Democrats voted in the last election for Barack Hussein Obama. 67 million. The only way The only way, I repeat, the only way to win the White House is to maintain the Republican voting bloc, so you maintain your base, 61 million. You never lose that, but you build on it with people that call themselves Democrats that cross over. The people that say, I have never voted Republican before, but I like Trump, and I'm going to give it a shot. Nobody that is a Democrat is going to give Ted Cruz a shot because he's exactly like other right-wing conservative Republicans have been year after year after year after year. Now you can say, well, we've never had somebody as conservative as Ted Cruz as our nominee. Exactly. We've had more moderates. We've had Mitt Romney. We've had John McCain. We had George Bush. And out of those three, only one won. It's another one of those words, one. So how the hell does a Mark Levin, which again goes back to my point, that Levin and Limbaugh don't want a Republican in the White House. They don't want a Republican in the White House. Ted Cruz has no shot. Absolutely no shot. No shot of beating Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders. Absolutely no shot. If we couldn't win with Mitt Romney and John McCain, and take the Sarah Palin factor out of the equation. Seriously, take the Sarah Palin factor out of the equation. Because if you compare apples to apples and oranges to oranges, she was better than Dan Quayle. And Dan Quayle got beaten up just as much, if not more, than Sarah Palin. Unfortunately, in this day and age, in that day and age, a woman gets slack because inherently people believe women are not as smart as men. Women are goofy. Women are hoo-hoo. I'm not saying that. I'm giving an opinion. So when a man is like that, it's real bad. When a man is perceived as dopey, dumb. I don't know, some of you might be too young. I don't know who listens to this show as far as age demo. We're not a radio station where you get that information, but nothing was worse than Dan Quayle being told in the debates that he's no John Kennedy. And the face that Dan Quayle had was like a 12-year-old was just made fun of at the school lunch table by the entire class. I mean, literally, it was the face of just embarrassment, of shock, of horror. So, VP and who the VP is did not cost George Bush or John McCain. What cost John McCain and Mitt Romney was people going, okay, Democrat, Republican. Okay, this Republican is giving me nothing. They're not giving me something to overlook. They have some views on things that I'm against. They're not giving me something. It's like having the girlfriend or boyfriend or best friend that has a flaw, but you overlook the flaw because their other qualities are awesome. Like super awesome. Like supercalifragilisticexpialidocious awesome. McCain didn't have that quality. There wasn't just something you could overlook because you agreed strongly with this position or you liked a stance on this or that or what have you. Ted Cruz has none of that. Ted Cruz has none of that. There is not one quality that Ted Cruz possesses that makes you say, wow, I can overlook A, B, and C. Nothing. So when Mark Levin and Limbaugh tell you Ted Cruz is a real conservative, Ted Cruz was people's man. He was conservatives' man for all these years. And now all of a sudden, he's Canadian. Now all of a sudden, he's controlled by big banks. Now all of a sudden, he's dishonest. I mean, literally, Mark Levin cries that Ted Cruz is getting attacked. But every election cycle, this is what happens in the primaries. They attack each other. Bain Capital, Bain. You remember Bain Capital? Remember Newt Gingrich's dying wife? Remember just Rand Paul? I mean, these guys just went after each other. You know, to listen to Mark Levin, you would think that up until Ted Cruz was getting attacked by Donald Trump, our party was like some British parliament. Hello. Yes, I would like to talk and tell, I don't know if that's a good English accent, but I would like to say that Ted Raphael Cruz is a good man, but not as good as me. I mean, do all of you remember when George Bush was running against John McCain and the attack dogs led by Karl Rove painted a picture, John McCain, who was crazy? Seriously. The George Bush team, led by Karl Rove, put out that John McCain was unstable and was suffering shell shock. because of the years he spent in Vietnam and the prisoner of war that he was. They painted a picture of John McCain not being fit to be commander-in-chief because any moment, if he was in the Oval Office, you might find him under a desk with a rifle screaming about gooks. I kid you not. I kid you not. They also put out there that he had an illegitimate Vietnamese love child. I mean, I can't fathom that Mark Levin forgets this as he's crying. And even some of his little whiny listeners are like, don't they understand when they're attacking each other like this, it does nothing good for the party? Why is Trump doing this? I never heard a bunch of crying little babies. Mark Levin audience members, they cry. They might cry more than liberals. And no one cries more than liberals. Turn on MSNBC, put on Rachel Maddow, and listen to these whiny crybabies. Nobody cries as much as them. Until you put on Mark Levin and listen to his audience. They cry, oh, why is Donald Trump doing this to Ted Cruz? Why? All the same people. All the same people. Listen to me. All of the Levin audience members, the millions that listen to him, are all the same people that said Barack Hussein Obama is not American and he was born in Kenya. And here we are 7 years later and they're like, Ted Cruz is an American. He's an American. Donald Trump is a He's just a New York bully. Why is he doing this? This is wrong. Mark Levin goes, yes, it's wrong. It's wrong. Donald Trump, you need to quit these New York bully tactics. It's wrong. It's wrong to call Ted Cruz a Canadian. But he is. No, he's not. He was born to an American mother. No different than John McCain. No, John McCain was born in a territory. His parents are in the military. Ted Cruz's mom was starting a life with a Cuban exile in Canada. You moron. You effing moron. You're a sham, Mark Levin. You're a fraud. That's what you are. You're a fraud. You don't want Republicans. You don't want us to win. You don't want us to win. And that's a fact. It's a fact. Remember the Willie Horton ads? Remember those? Remember those? Remember the charges leveled to Michael Dukakis? Hey, Michael, do you know women get raped and murdered because of you? You're responsible for women being raped and murdered? Yeah, I know that's not Republican versus Republican, but come on now. Attacking and going after political opponents have been happening since there was elections. To listen to Levin and his supporters, it's like listening to children. I guess Ted Cruz can't handle it. Canadians don't have that tough skin. I mean, let's face it. Canadians are pretty weak. I mean, can we all just at least agree on that? Canadians are pretty weak. I mean, come on. Toronto, Quebec, Ottawa, pretty weak. I mean, jeez. Come on now. So it's obvious. It's obvious Levin and Limbaugh are goo goo gaga. This goo goo gaga for Ted Cruz. Crying and whining. And like I said, Ted Cruz possesses not one it quality that would make anybody overlook what they disagree with him on to vote for him. And as much as we all hate to hear the truth, we all know that a candidate always for the general election has to dial back where they started with regards to the primary. I know we don't like to say this, and people could say, Rob, that's the problem. That's the problem. We want a strict liberal or we want a strict conservative. Well, that's not the reality, and that's not what happens. I mean, we're being real here, okay? I'm not going to be a Mark Levin. We're being real here. How does Ted Cruz pack back when his entire pitch is, I'm a real conservative, and Mark Levin's pitch is, he's a real conservative. He will ban gays. He will ban abortion. He will eliminate Planned Parenthood. He will... All these positions are conservative, and I respect them. I support them. But the reality is, you need moderates to vote for you. So Ted Cruz isn't going to be able to pack back. He's not going to be able to dial back any of that. And if he does, he's immediately going to look exactly like everybody accuses him of being, which is a slimy, sleazy politician that on the campaign trail or in Florida or in Mississippi says one thing and in another area says another. Just remember, Ted Cruz is from Texas. He talks a big game about illegal immigration, but he's never done anything in his state to actually stop it. Why? Because it's big business in Texas to have illegals. You are so against illegal immigration, and you're a senator. You're a sitting senator in a state with a Republican governor. and other legislatures that are Republicans, don't you think collectively everybody would be able to unite and do away with illegal immigration? Of course not, because Ted Cruz says one thing in one area and does another in his own home state. The guy is doomed. The guy is doomed if he is the nominee, and everybody knows it. And Mark Levin and Donald Trump are trying to sell, or Mark Levin and Rush Limbaugh are trying to sell you. Donald Trump would be bad. Mark Levin, or Ted Cruz would be good. And it's because Levin and Limbaugh are lazy and they want Hillary as president so they could coast for 4 to 8 years. Because it's easier to be on offense than it is to be on defense. End of story. We're going to take a break because I'm annoyed now. When we come back, we're going to discuss polls. That's what we're going to do. All right? It's Rob Zicari Show. Don't forget, go to the Twitter, at Rob Zicari Show, at Rob Zicari Show. We'll be right back.
Let's talk about this now with conservative commentator and columnist Kurt Schlichter and Donald Trump supporter Tara Grant. All right, Tara. You know,
hi, guys.
Why did he have to go there?
Well, that's a good question. I'm still confused as to, A, why it was brought up, why it was discussed at a rally. But I'm even more confused as to why we're still talking about it. It's definitely gone to the toilet as far as there are so many other things that we can be discussing about Hillary Clinton, her politics, her ideologies, and we're discussing her going to the potty. I mean,
I think I understand what you're saying, but I think we're discussing the comment and whether it's appropriate for someone who is running for as a leader of the free world to make comments about a woman going to the restroom, or whether someone was, as he says, schlonged or not. Mr. Schlichter, what do you think of that, Kurt?
Don, it's going to take a lot more for me to get upset at a woman who enabled a guy who turned the Oval Office into a frat house and his intern into a humidor. You know, I just don't care. I so don't care.
Absolutely.
I would need Stephen Hawking to find the theoretical limit of how little I care about Donald Trump's silly jokes. This hypocritical, pearl-clutching nonsense that Donald Trump's vulgar and mean and out there. And I can't stand Donald Trump. I'm the guy who comes on. And this is why I hate the media, Don, because you make me defend Donald Trump. This
is and yet you're here with us.
Good job, Kurt.
You hate us enough that you appear every time we ask you. Kurt, listen.
All right, we're back. It's the Rob Zicari Show, and we are live. We are live. All right. Just a programming. Programming note. Okay, programming note. We're probably going to have to cut it a little bit early, and I'm going to tell you why. Because young Cat Howe, that is my lovely and beautiful girlfriend. Those of you who have been listening to this show for a long time know all about Cat Howe, and she joins us at the end of our program to bring us pop culture news. She was not here yesterday because she has been getting ready for her mommy. Yes, her mommy is coming into town, which in about an hour and a half, she will be arriving in the LA at the LAX terminal from Texas, the home state of Rafael Cruz. So we're going to have to pick her up. I know. And I'll have to leave in, I don't know, 40 minutes. She comes in. Her plane lands at 12:30. So her plane lands in an hour and 10 minutes. But she'll land, and then she's going to have to get her stuff. So chances are, we're talking 12:50. It'll probably take me a half hour or so to get there. Traffic is not that bad at this time. So, yeah, I'm going to have to cut the show at, like, God, I don't know, 20 minutes maybe. I know it sucks. But, hey, that's what we got to do. All right. I think we started off big, right? Didn't we? We started off big. And I still got to I have finished fixing up the house, and God, it was a big nightmare. It's all a big, big nightmare. Anyways, all right, so let's, can we talk about some polls? What do you think? Can we talk about some polls? What do you say? Can we talk about South Carolina? Can we talk about Florida? And it's funny, I was listening to a Hugh Hewitt segment where he put down the Florida poll. Like I said, you gotta love these conservative talk show hosts. You gotta love their love for Rafael Cruz. You do. You just gotta love their love. You gotta love their love for Hillary Clinton. That's really what it is. You gotta love their love for Hillary Clinton, because that's what it is. You got to love their love. They so desperately want Hillary to remain in the White House so they don't have to work. So they don't have to do anything. Like I said, Hillary Clinton in the White House, I mean, come on, that's cake. Cake. I mean, seriously, that's cake. I could come in here loaded. Every day, loaded. I can come every day loaded if Hillary Clinton is the president. So a poll came out for Florida. And it's funny because people in the establishment, like Hugh Hewitt, and let's face it, he's a conservative established talk show host. So he's conservative as far as, oh, constitutional, rah, 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 rah. You know, like a Levin, I'm a strict constitutionalist, rah, 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 rah. but he's paid by CNN, so really how conservative, how Republican? Come on. Him, he sits on a stage with Anna Navarro and Essie Cupp, other two non-conservative Republicans. They're fake. And it's funny because a Florida poll came out, and it's FAU. It's FAU. It's a poll that not a lot of people heard of. Okay. I'll agree. But the poll that came out recently that shows Kasich in second place in New Hampshire, ARC, or I never heard of before, but yet the Hewitts, the Levins, they all touted that poll as some type of gospel. Look, look, Kasich's moving. See, Kasich's moving. He's on the heels of Trump. And then this FAU poll comes out, and Hugh Hewitt goes, well, you know, I never really heard of them, and it's obvious they're just doing this poll so they could get in the press, and to have Trump so far ahead will get them publicity, and that, you know, that's all that is. Amazing. So a Florida poll has Trump at almost 50%, Ted Cruz at 16%, Marco Rubio and Jeb Bush at 11% and 9%. That poll is a joke. That poll doesn't matter. It's just people looking for publicity. But a poll in New Hampshire, ARC, which nobody ever talks about. I mean, when do you ever hear anybody on CNN, MSNBC, Fox going to ARC poll shows? No one does. But they do now. Why? Because they want to push Kasich. They want to push anybody to get Trump out. That's it. But I'm going to talk about the FAU poll. Because even if the poll is inflated, even if the poll is inflated, even if you take that poll and drop Donald Trump by 10%. So if you drop Donald Trump to 37%, okay, and raise Ted Cruz by 10%, because everybody loves Ted Cruz in the conservative talk media, still have Ted Cruz at 26 and Donald Trump at 37. And Marco Rubio at 20 and Jeb Bush at 19. So you still have two guys from Florida, an ex-governor and a sitting senator, being buried in their own home state by a New York land hotel building billionaire. I don't know, you can build land, but it's, you get the gosh damn point. So even if you sit there and say, well, that poll is it's inflated. Okay, so deflate it. Take support from Trump and give it to Cruz, Rubio, and Bush. They're all still way behind. Way behind. Way behind. Okay? Way behind. They're still way behind. And that's a fact. That's a fact. Say it. You could say it. Say it. That's a fact. And in South Carolina, a new poll has come out. Now, people are kind of talking about this because it's an acceptable poll. Or at least it's a poll they can't 100% bury. Can't 100% bury this poll. But this South Carolina poll that just came out has Trump at 38%. Okay? 38 with Ted Cruz at 16. Followed by Rubio at 11. And, of course, Ben Carson at 8. You know, remember, guys, and I said this countless times, when Ben Carson and Donald Trump were 1 and 2. And then Cruz was behind Carson, followed by everybody else. And, of course, the SC Cups and Navarro's and the Wolf Blitzers and the list goes on all kept saying, well, as people fall out, that support will go to an established candidate like Rubio or Bush, and in turn, Donald Trump will lose that support, or he'll just stay at the 19 or 20% that he's at. And I used to scream and yell until I couldn't scream and yell anymore that it was wrong, because if you had Trump at 20 and Ben Carson at 16 and Ted Cruz at 10, the support for those three people are going to shuffle amongst those three people. The support for the bottom half or the establishment, that support will eventually go to those top people because they'll go, well, I'm Republican, they're Republican. I'm going to go with them. My favorite is Jeb, but he's out, so I'll go to Trump. Nobody from Ben Carson was going to leave and go to Jeb Bush. I said they would leave Ben Carson and go to either Trump or they would go to either Cruz. And that's all that has happened. Have you noticed? And no one is talking about it because they all want Rafael Cruz. But Donald Trump has increased, and all Ted Cruz or Rafael Cruz has done is switch places with Ben Carson. And Mark Levin's not talking about that. Hugh Hewitt's not talking about that. SC Cup's not talking about that. Ana Navarro is not talking about that. That's all that happened. Rafael Cruz and Ben Carson switched spots. So supporters of Ben Carson went, oh man, this guy's either a child molester, he's either someone who hates his mom, or he is someone that thinks about stabbing his friends. We're not too sure. We're not too sure, but we're going to go with the other holy roller. And that's the Canadian. That's all that happened. If you look at polls from, say, 2 months ago, Ben Carson was exactly where Ted Cruz is. Rubio didn't get votes. Jebby didn't get votes. Kasich didn't get votes. All that happened is Ben Carson lost his votes and they went Cruz. That's it. That's it. That's all that happened. Ted Cruz is at 16%. Ben Carson is at 8%. Take a look at a South Carolina poll from 2 months ago and see where Ben Carson was and see where Ted Cruz was. Take a look at an Iowa poll from 2 months ago. See where Ted Cruz is. See where Ben Carson is. That's all that happened. We are talking about Ted Cruz like we were talking about Ben Carson. Why won't you guys see through the BS that Mark Levin and Roush Limbaugh are telling you? And Hugh Hewitt. And Dennis Prager.
And Michael Medved.
Michael Medved ought to go hang out with Lindsey Graham. Them two could go watch show tunes, Liza Minnelli concerts, for heaven's sake.
It's Michael Medved. Hi, I'm Michael Medved.
He's an a-hole. That's what he is. He's an a-hole. It's an a-hole, I say.
It's Michael Medved.
Let me finish. Trump also has the highest favorability rating with 62%, with just 30% that have a negative opinion. And when the field was cut to 4-3 and two candidates, Cruz presented the closest challenge head-to-head with Trump. But ultimately, Trump beats Cruz 49-41. So even as the people get out of the race in South Carolina, Trump still wins. And when it's him and Cruz, Trump still wins. And for the very conservative vote, Trump barely beats. For the evangelicals, like the Bible thumpers, the ones that probably look at Trump going, you know what, my favorite book is the Bible. And they're like, is he making fun of us? And he's like, no, I love the little wine and the little post crackers. And they're like, oh, okay, he digs us. He likes us. The Bible. They're like, yeah. We like the Bible. We love the Bible. And he goes, you know what my second favorite book is? Art of the Deal. Art of the Deal. But my first is the Bible. It's my favorite line of all Trump speeches. The Bible. And when matched up against Hillary Clinton, Trump beats Hillary Clinton 45-43. SEC primary, baby, March 1st. So this is a public policy poll, which is a big deal. This is a poll that people tout. They considered it a legit poll. And in the new Monmouth poll, Trump holds a 2-1 advantage over his closest GOP presidential contender. Trump leads the race with 36% nationally. 36%. 36%. Ted Cruz is a distant second with 17%. And then, of course, the rest of the field is pretty much unchanged. Rubio at 11%, Ben Carson at 8%, Jeb Bush at 5%, and no other candidate is at 3%. So, again, Ben Carson and Ted Cruz just flip-flopped. That's all that happened. That's all that happened. Look at a national poll from a few months ago. Ted Cruz, or I should say Raphael, was always below Ben Carson. Now he's above Ben Carson. But that's it. They're the ones that are swapping votes. They're the ones that are swapping votes. And let's do the reverse of what the established pundits do when they say, oh, well, as the people get out of the race, they will coalesce around a candidate and Donald Trump gets out and then blah, blah, blah. Let's do a reverse, okay? Let's do a reverse. If John Kasich and Chris Christie get out of the race, if Jeb Bush and Marco Rubio get out of the race, all those supporters are not going to Ted Cruz. They're not going to Ben Carson. They're going to Trump. They're going to Trump. Rand Paul's people are going to Trump. These people are more in line with Trump than they are Raphael Cruz. Okay? Remember that. Remember that. Remember that. Oh, remember that. So, there's the new polls. You have the national with Monmouth. You have the South Carolina. And in the New Hampshire CNN poll. And they've downplayed this, which is kind of amusing. Normally, there would be a talk all over about this CNN New Hampshire poll. But again, no one likes it because Trump is in the lead. Now, of course, they will all tell you, well, New Hampshire voters don't make up their mind until the last minute. The last, you know, I love how they classify all Iowans and all New Hampshireans as these, you know, indecisive human beings. Like they're walking around, I don't know. Who does that? You got 15 days before you cast a ballot and you're walking around going, I mean, it paints these people as dumb. It really does. Undecided. So are you I'm undecided, but they're not undecided. The polls show that they want Trump. Yeah, but they could change their mind. Really? Wow. Okay. So for months now, they're saying Trump, Trump, Trump. And now they're going to go into a booth in 11 days and go, ooh, I just changed my mind. What? Really? They're that bizarre as human beings? That's bizarre. But Trump is 20-point lead over Ted Cruz. Okay? He is 20 points. 20 points. Trump's at 34%. Okay? He's at 34. Followed by Cruz at 14. Marco Rubio and Jeb Bush at 10. Rand Paul, Chris Christie, John Kasich, each tied at 6. And remember, the ARREFO poll that Hewitt and a bunch of these other crackpot, Looney Tune, conservative talk ramblers. John Kasich, oh, he's in second place. Look what's happening. I know. Sound like Rush, I know. Limbaugh goes, I knew something was going on. I knew it. What did you know, you load? All I know is you want Rafael Cruz because you're lazy. End of story. That's what I know. But I knew something was going on. The only poll in the history of polls that shows John Kasich above 5%. CNN poll, John Kasich, 6. My bad. They have him at 6. It's not at second. Trump's at 34%. And just remember, guys, just remember. Listen to me. Just listen to me. Let's finish this. Let's finish this strong. Remember, Romney and McCain did not, I repeat, did not win Iowa. They both won New Hampshire. You know who won Iowa? Rick Santorum and Mike Huckabee. Those are the guys that won Iowa. New Hampshire, McCain and Romney. Right now, Donald Trump is at 34% in New Hampshire. 34% in New Hampshire. He's up huge in Hampshire. He's up huge in South Carolina. He's up huge in Nevada. The only place he's not up huge is in Iowa. The new poll shows he's up by a point. And remember, the polls showed Ted Cruz being up by 10. Ladies and gentlemen, if Donald Trump wins Iowa, it's over. It's over. If he doesn't win Iowa, we'll have to wait a few weeks. But here's the funny thing. Donald Trump could possibly wrap up the Republican nomination before Hillary Clinton wraps up the nomination, if she wraps up the nomination for the Democrats. Did we ever think this would ever happen? I did. I'm one of the only ones. Everybody else said Trump would be done. Everybody else said he would be over. 1 month ago, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, 4 months ago, 5 months ago, 6 months ago, I said, no. If Donald Trump can convert me and bring that Republican itch, that Republican fire out inside of me, he could do it for a lot of people. So, Rob Zicari Show, listen to me. I'm out of here. I know we're closing the show early, but I have to go to the airport, all right? So don't hate me because I'm beautiful, all right? Don't hate me. I'm joking, but I am beautiful, all right? Listen, I'm going to be on Twitter later. I was not on Twitter last night because we were preparing and getting stuff ready for the mom. So I will be on Twitter later. I'll be sending out articles. I'll be sending out stories. Follow us. Find me there at Rob Zicari. Go there right now. We have a new story about the Academy Awards and the whiny liberals, these whiny turds, these whiny scumbags. So go there. Go there. We're talking about diversity. We're talking about affirmative action. We're talking about horrible movies that a bunch of crybaby actors want nominated. So go there. Read the story. It's good. Just go there, damn it. It's Rob Zicari Show. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll go longer. We'll make up for what we did today, all right? All right. You guys are the best. Don't forget, vote Trump, and let's take back America. Let's make this country great again, and let's crush these whiny liberal turds and these crying Levin conservatives. That's what we're calling them, the Levin conservatives. And let's crush them too. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Goodbye. Oh.